You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The WHO has just given a clinical definition for post-COVID-19 condition, commonly known as long COVID. Around 10 to 30% of people infected by COVID-19 suffer long COVID, which often comes about once a patient has recovered from the initial disease. Although not a huge amount is known about it, it is considered to be similar in many ways to ME/CFS, also known as chronic fatigue. I spoke to Professor Warren Tate from the University of Otago, an expert in a number of areas, including chronic fatigue. We discuss what is currently known about long COVID, who it affects and for how long, and why the WHO's clinical definition will make it easier for academics across the world to study long COVID. We started by talking about how the side effects from COVID-19 were unexpected by many of those who were infected.
For many, this was a bit of a surprise among clinicians and the general public, but we've had a disease like that around in our community for many years, and that's myalgic encephalomyelitis, chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME/CFS, and that is mainly caused by initial viral infections, things like glandular fever, and gives an ongoing debilitating condition which is lifelong. And so New Zealand has about 25,000 people that are affected with that. So it shouldn't have been a surprise, but because the pandemic has affected so many people worldwide, it effectively means there's a burden of about 20 million people now with long COVID that's been actually added, you know, to the burden of these post-viral fatigue illnesses.
And so you say it's a lifelong illness. Is there any sense of how long COVID may last for people? Is it something that may be with them their entire life?
It may be. I mean, obviously it's too early to know, and what I'm trying to do in my own research is do a comparison between ME/CFS and long COVID to see if it's really the same condition, but long COVID is just specifically related to the one virus. And if that's the case, then, you know, there is a good chance that many people with long COVID, I mean, some will sort of recover earlier and some seem to be doing this, not huge numbers, but there's still a lot that have had long COVID for over a year. And the encouraging thing is that because this is fairly early in their illness, you know, we have opportunities now for a lot of effort is put in to try and understand the disease, which hasn't happened with ME/CFS. It's been rather a neglected disease, you know, for many years, then we have the opportunity to hopefully come up with some therapeutic interventions which might help these people and prevent the disease becoming lifelong. I mean, that's my hope anyway.
Why exactly does long COVID sort of come about? Is it causing long-term damage somewhere? Are you able to sort of explain it in layman's terms to me?
Well, yeah, I'll explain it as I understand it with ME/CFS, because I think it's the similar sort of thing. It's almost like the body switches into a physiological mode where it's protecting itself because it senses danger. So that viral infection, the COVID infection, just like the other viral infections with ME/CFS, have created a state, a physiological state in the body, which is a sensing danger. And so there's homeostatic mechanisms in the body, physiological mechanisms that's almost switched into a protection mode. And they get that switch gets stuck. And somehow I think the clue to, you know, understanding these diseases is to understand how we can actually reverse that switch. So in layman's term, that's a kind of a way if we think about it now. But the disease, you know, ME/CFS has not been an understood disease. In fact, it's been, you know, falsely regarded as a psychological disorder, whereas, you know, my research over the last 8 years really has shown there's a clear biological basis for the disorder for ME/CFS, and but many physiological systems are affected, but there's going to be one or two sort of core things in the body that probably all of this we think can be switched back to nearer normality if we understand how to actually, you know, flick the switch, as it were.
So is there any sort of treatment for ME/CFS or long COVID?
No, at the moment there's no definitive treatment. So, you know, we have an outstanding clinician in the Howick Health and Medical Centre, Dr. Rosamund Vallings, who actually came across ME/CFS when she was a trainee doctor in 1955 in the Royal Free Hospital outbreak in London. And so she was kind of aware of it when patients started coming into her GP clinic. And she, you know, is very knowledgeable about all of the things that are worth trying. But there's no one sort of thing that is effective for everybody. You know, there is a number of things available now that can be tried to see whether it will alleviate the condition, just make it better for the patient. Doesn't make the disease go away, but can alleviate conditions. So that's the state we're in at the moment, and with long COVID as well. You know, there's a lot of interest, and you know, fortunately now, because not much money has been put into research into ME/CFS across the world up till now, but there's been a promise of a lot of money being brought forward in the United States to study long COVID, so we can come to terms what the illness really is all about, and to you know, develop what we hope will be effective therapies.
Is there any sense of who's more likely to get long COVID? We always sort of think about vulnerable groups, like the elderly are more likely to get COVID.
Yeah.
Is that the same with long COVID?
No, I mean, long COVID, just like ME/CFS, is the dominant group are women in 30s to 40s in both those. So that sort of suggests there's a strong connection between the two illnesses. There's also a pediatric group, for example. You know, my daughter came down with ME/CFS when she was 14, and so there is a pediatric group as well. You know, not so. It's not related to you know, elderly group or whatever in that way.
Is there any sense about why exactly this particular, why women in this particular age range are more affected by it, or is that another sort of unknown about the disease?
In a way, it is. It is an unknown, and you know, just going back to your last question, I've got a study now with a young woman who has ME/CFS herself, who's doing an online genetic counselling course, and what we're going to do is her project for her master's is to try and see if we can tease out personal health and family histories to understand susceptibility factors, and at the moment we just don't have that really properly for ME/CFS or for long COVID. In other words, predicting. So one might be able to predict, because of one's family and health history, that if you got a viral infection you might be susceptible, and then you could actually, you know, we could take immediate efforts to try and alleviate this sort of happening. But we don't have that information at the moment. It's not possible to determine, you know, who might come down with this or not. So, for example, for long COVID, people that had quite mild infection, you know, initial infection, have come down with long COVID, as well as people who have been severely affected. So it isn't necessarily connected with the severity of the initial infection. But I should add that when I'm talking about long COVID, and this comes back to your first questions about the WHO, long COVID is probably a group of people, majority of which are post-viral fatigue condition, which is what I'm talking about. There are people who maybe have lung damage or kidney damage or heart defects, and so they were included in the long COVID definition, and that can be a separate subgroup. And also, it's one of them that's been suggested is people that were in hospital and maybe in ICU have a post-traumatic disorder from the experience of actually having to go through that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.